Hi friends, let's start with chapter 11, logistics for retail. This is overall under our subject of distribution management. First, let's set the learning objective for us. We are going to in principle understand overall for the various kinds of retail, the logistics model. Essentially, I have not complicated by making too many models, but trying to give you in one or two chosen model, the little more elaborate understanding of what is logistics in such retail models. So this is what we will try and understand. It includes various associate subjects like locating the stores and, you know, kind of thing. So let's move on. Friends, you will be surprised to know that today the retail market stands at almost 80,000 crores. 80,000 crores of organized retail market, which is just 4 to 5% of total expected retail market in our country, India. So organized is a very small aspect, and as you know, and besides the unorganized. Unorganized, when I say, they are standalone units which are you see in your lanes and by lanes, etc. But we are going to today essentially talk about the organized retail. Now moving on to this, the growth momentum in this sector is very phenomenal. 30 to 40% of growth that this industry is witnessing over last almost a decade or so, so to say. Foreign investments are coming in, and this is all going to propel, in fact, this industry little more. So vis-a-vis also the GST rationalization, implementation of GST has really rationalized the tax structure, which is going to give a boon to the retail industry. And all these factors are leading to one fact, that organized retail is going to boom. So leaving not behind, so there are other players who are also trying to put in their survival strategies. Like you have small players like Apna Bazaar, Sahakari Bhandars are taking due care. Sahakari Bhandar is, as you know, probably associated with now the Reliance Group. On the other end, Apna Bazaar has tied up with Spar. Spar is a Netherlands very international logistics organization, retail management organization, and Spar in India is with Radhakrishna Foods. Now Apna Bazaar has gone and tied up with them for managing their supply chain. So you can understand that what all is going to happening, the unusual, unthoughtful collaborations, associations and all are going to happen. We have world's best coming to India, and they have already, some of them have really entered, some of them are knocking on our doors. Like, so you have Walmarts, you have Tesco's, etc. are going to come in, and you have a large Indian entrepreneurial setups like Shoppers Stop, Vijay Sales, which is growing. I have seen Vijay Sales one outlet at Mahim, and today it is like in many major parts of country they have outlets. So this is what is like is happening in the retail front. So with this an overview, and I look back in your local areas, which kind of shops you have seen, either they have multi-chain shops have come up, or which are the large organized retails have come up, you will be amazed to see that how they are replacing the old way of retailing. And so with that, let's move on. So kinds of retail formats that India has, these are some of the six retail formats which are being listed for you. It starts with the standalone format, then you have like, you know, smaller but organized retail formats. You have branded multi-location chains. So branded multi-location chains are standalone, proprietary in nature. Vijay Sales is one, Kohinoor that I know of, because essentially from Mumbai, Kohinoor Electronics. So similarly, you have various such branded retail chains across the country working on organized large retail formats. And then you have factory outlet chains. Organized large retail formats are anything like Westside or Shoppers Stop, etc. And then you have factory outlets. So every factory has tried putting in their own outlet, you know, across major cities in the right areas, etc., to capture the attention of the target segmented customers and then win them over. So these are the kinds of retail formats that you have in India. Very briefly, standalone is like typical old banya kariana shops that we have witnessed, but they have also transformed. They have also like relaid out their shops, you know, they have also made their shops walkable. Otherwise, typically earlier days, like there was a wall, there was a counter, and across the counter you go and only ask for the product, their guy will give you the product. Now they have also transformed, they have like relaid out, and they have made their shops more with lights and, you know, kind of easy access to the consumers, etc. So that's a change that the organized retail is bringing in. Smaller organized retail formats like you see, like, you know, limited gala based kind of an outlet, you may say mini supermarket or kind of a thing, and then that's how they try and survive. You know, it might have a chain support behind, or it may be the standalone particular local brand in that area, etc. Multi-branded shops, I told you, like Vijay Sales or Kohinoor, as I know, or, you know, any other in your areas. Large is like West Side, Shopper Stop, and you name anything which is a very large retail format that you can see. And factory outlets, you have Raymond's, you have many other companies, factory outlet that you noticed. Yeah. Each have their own advantage, each have their limitations, etc. We are supposed to get into understanding the logistics part of it. So I'm not really getting into giving you the idea about the features or the limitations, etc. of this format. And our focus is to understand the logistics and especially the distribution management. So what is happening is the entire transformation that is coming in the entire retail chain. Transformation which is having a big impact for future, big impact for those who do not adopt to the ongoing changes, etc. So this is a phase where Indian organized retail is entering, where a lot of change is going to be witnessed. One first major change is shift in the bargaining power. Bargaining power earlier used to be in the hands of the manufacturer. Monopolistic, you know, duopolistics, or that limited competition era, manufacturers were in command. Today the retailers are more in command. The reason being, retailers are, one is of course made to invest, made to look, you know, like really an experiential platform for the consumers. That is what the consumer, you know, manufacturer or the product or the brand expects the retailer to be. With that, the center of activity has shifted, because retailer is the one who promotes your product. Retailer is the one who has a better local visibility. He is the one who is digitally more connected with the local crowd, etc. Now, all this thing is creating a pull towards his outlet. And therefore, the outlet and the retailer in that area has become more prominent than the brand, so to say. The brand communication is now shifted more towards inviting the consumers to a specific retail outlet. They shout about, you know, various promotions that they have. They shout about what they are selling. They shout about what is coming in or what is in shop, etc. So, like, they attract you. And so that's the reason why the entire shift has happened towards the retailer. So manufacturers' ability to command their terms and conditions vis-a-vis their insistence on certain criteria and all are kind of diminishing. But at the same time, both have realized that it is better to collaborate. So that's one good thing. Also, we will study as we move forward what the collaboration is yielding in itself. Faster implementation of promotions. Earlier, manufacturer was supposed to drive, retailer was supposed to accept, partially accept or reject the promotion offer, etc. Now, they are in a very competitive market. You either take it or leave it. But when you leave it, like, be ready to face the consequences kind of a scenario that they are in. And as a result, both have collaborated so well. You know, they have understanding, they have derived at generalized terms and conditions, they have worked how to launch the schemes, they have like collaborated, you know, on many fronts on such kind of a promotional schemes. So that's the reason when you see that 2 days are not over and the new scheme comes in. The moment first scheme is over, you see within 2 days the another scheme being launched by all these things. So the moment Diwali, this thing is not over, you have Christmas, you have mid-season, you know, off-season sales are being announced by all these outlets and all manufacturers put together. The reason being, the team behind and the retailer have understood the importance of first attracting the consumer, second inducing them, and then bringing them, creating that footfall. So with that, they are constantly working to identify the period of promotion, what is going to attract consumers at that phase of time, and those kind of aspects, and then what will lure them. So whether it's a discount, whether ek par ek free or whatever, that is what is happening all around. Closely coordinated feedback systems, both digital and offline. The feedback mechanism has become so agile, so fast. So what is working or not working is known to you within few hours of your promotion launch, etc. So on one hand, you have a digital footprint which will really give you an idea whether your promotion is going miles, or your promotion is not catching up, etc. So the digital footprints, the hit rates, the forwards or likes and all things will really give you that picture. It also allows you to change. It also allows you to tweak quickly also. So that's one advantage. Retailers will start giving you feedback whether the promotion scheme is working, not working, is there anything needs to be tweaked, etc. So there's a lot of feedback mechanism between the two have increased a lot. Participated in product development. Earlier, the product development was a manufacturer's onus. Manufacturers, once in a while, occasionally, is the case maybe scenario, when he wants to develop the market. Those kind of era, he used to go to the consumers, understand the need and then develop the product. Now, retailer is at the heart of the matter. Yeah. Retailer is encountering with the consumers every day. He is understanding what consumer is liking, what consumer is not liking, what consumer wants, those kind of in conversations with the salesman, etc. If they are captured so well, yeah, if they are captured by these brands or the manufacturers, they are going to really create a differentiator for them, because their response time for the product development will be much better than the competition. So the product development, there is a participative way these areas are happening. Control of supply. Now, control of supply has a very wider term. We have understood inventory management, etc. So I'm not going to get into that. But on one hand, manufacturers want lowest inventory in pipeline or his distribution center, etc. On the other hand, retailer wants lowest inventory to be kept by him. Now, this both is a contradictory objective. So how do you overcome this? So as a result, even manufacturers and the producers have evolved their way. They have opened the distribution center closer to the retailer, literally like a daily supply. Literally, there will be like, half day supplies, etc. are happening. Fast moving items are probably supplied at few hours, etc. So, there are various ways and means developed by manufacturers to respond to the retailers changing way of inventory holding. So, that's what is yielding the result. We will study some other formats where manufacturers have collaborated or the online stores have collaborated with the manufacturers. So it's like supply is not coming to you from the online store guy, but supply is coming to you from the manufacturers once you put an order. So these are a few changes that is coming in. Cooperative and collaborative stance in many aspects. So logistics has to do with information, order processing, inventory control, transportation, etc., distribution of packets and orders, fulfillments, etc. All these aspects earlier, there used to be a one-sided onus. Nowadays, there is a collaborative and cooperative stance being taken by both manufacturer on one end, second end, the retailer. So, this transformation is changing the way various formats are going to work. So, collaborative stance, let's understand a little bit more out here. By what is it that is yielding to it and what could be the some of the limitations, etc. The retailers have more control over the secondary distribution. So now retailers are demanding control in distribution just preceding their point of sale. Now this secondary distribution, this thing has to realign itself to meet the changing requirements of the retailers. Earlier there was we will come once in fortnight, or you order and within 48 hours the order will reach, and those are the eras which has now literally collapsed. And secondary, that supply chain has to really become responsive to meet the challenges of the retailer. So there could be, that's why the concept like just in time and those things have also come in, which was earlier a production oriented concept, which is now been even applied to the last end retailing. Requires very quick supplies of replenishments, etc. Items which are perishable items, which are of a short tenure, items which are fast moving, etc. Retailers also expect the secondary distribution to take care of regular replenishments. So the things have been worked out wherein the demand expectations, the everyday requirements, information collaborations, what is the stock and what was the stock replenishment that has happened, and then therefore what is the stock that is needed by each retail outlet, that is possible now through the information integration. And as a result, the supply is becoming also more replenishment oriented. Supply should be of a composite loads. Expectation is like, again, you have large bulk supply or you have a choice of assortments coming to you, etc. Now, depending on the challenge of each retail format, either they will prefer to have smaller but multi-product composite loads, and so and then they come more frequently. So that is what is more frequent but composite supplies that is reaching their point. For them, it is also relevant to pick up such supplies and then move us into the selling system, so that the stock churn, as you say, is faster, and therefore their capital gets locked, released, and he is able to therefore turn around his capital for more number of times and earn around that particular aspect of the distribution management. Cost effective distribution and transportation solution is critical. Each one has to find out. You cannot really load your system, you really cannot load your price with your limited knowledge or your limited initiative or your inability to drive your transportation, distribution cost, etc. down. That is going to be the big bottleneck, because competition on the other end is putting a lot of infrastructure, IT bandwidth, technology integrations, etc. That is going to help him reduce his overall distribution cost. So one of example that I have given you in this chapter, wherein we have discussed the Walmart of world, and a Walmart distribution cost is anywhere around just 1.7% of the sales cost, vis-a-vis the others today in the industry of equivalent nature are around 3 to 5%. So you can see that the difference, this is what is gives the edge to the Walmart, as they continue to remain not only the cost sensitive supplier, but their response to the consumer needs are very fast. Reduction in the order of fulfillment lead time. Order fulfillment lead time is nothing but the time that order comes, the time it moves out of your distribution center, and then time it is delivered to the consumer. So each company have this order fulfillment lead time as a point of measurement. There are various levels at which it is measured. Collaborative stance will help each one to shrink this time. This shrinkage of the time will really create a competitive differentiation. So these are the few advantages that we have seen of the collaborative stance. Quick response time, agile working, etc. Because of the collaboration and because of both parties' interests now in goods moving out very fast, each is taking a relevant step, so that the overall there is agility in the system, and things are oriented towards customer service. Utilization of the reverse logistics concept. Reverse logistics nothing but like my truck here and going and delivering the goods, but my truck comes back to me empty. Now today, it is possible now with the so much of a churn that is happening, so much of a need for a frequent deliveries, so much of a need for a composite load deliveries, so much of promotion based items which are being put into the system that needs to come out, reusable concept are being applied by either the government regulations or the manufacturers on their own, trying to really reduce their other overheads and all. So as a result, the truckload which has gone can also be utilized for bringing certain goods back or putting them into the other supply chain, so that overall you are trying to maximize your vehicle utilization. So this is an advantage also. Integrated supply chain management is possible now due to the well network IT solutions availability. So you have on one hand 4G's and all, which gives you the better mobile connectivity, etc. IT bandwidths have also increased due to amazing technology transformation on the data transfer front that Indian telecos have given it to the industry. As a result, it is now possible to create really a network of your IT standalone units, etc. And then instead of working as a standalone unit far off, not able to have a real-time online interaction, it is now possible to have all your units to integrate into one IT system, so that all the managers, all the stakeholders have a real-time online information. Use of IoT, Internet of Things, as they say, is the effective technology revolution that is taking place. On one hand, you have a very effective IT bandwidth. The transitional automobile or transitional mobile and that kind of revolution is bringing the your aspects like vehicle utilization, because the vehicle tracking device is possible nowadays. This is due to the IoT. Info-based forward planning, etc. So not only this is not only to do with the vehicle, but even RFDIs and those kind of coding based use of various technologies, the stock level, the replenishment level, reorder, all these things gets into the automotive automatic mode. So automatic triggers are being put into the system in such a way that the manual intervention is at its minimal. All relevant stakeholders get intimation about what is needed to be acted upon, and then when they get into the required execution, overall all the stakeholders benefit. So Internet of Things is going to change a lot of things in the world, and one such is the logistics execution agility. Overall change in the retail logistics management, friends, let's see that, and the basic shift from the push to pull that is happening. So overall the supply chain, instead of earlier era of a pushing, is moving to pull system, where it is more market demand driven. So if your product is moving, retail is going to demand, and the retail is going to demand, your supply chain has to be agile, and agility will allow you to retain fast movement of your inventory, get rid of obsolete inventory, non-moving inventory, etc. Customers are gaining more power in the marketing channels. Customers today have a choice of going to a place. So he decides whether he wants to do online, he wants to do online, but collect the goods from offline stores or whatever. So colors. With this power that is shifted in the hands of your consumers, the channel reorientation, the channel's ability to respond to customer service also needs to really go higher and higher, and hence reliance on information technology. So and information technology is nothing but the kind of level of connectivity that you bring across various hardwares and softwares that you have, which allows the individuals not only to see the online real-time information, but at the same time management support systems and those kind of additional tool gives them the decision making. So the faster decision making and all becoming possible, drastic reduction in idle inventories, obviously, like because of this integration, the retail agility, the retailers, you know, you are moving into the direction to meet the retailers' requirements so well, including the secondary distribution channel. The reduction is achieved in the overall inventory that remains in the pipeline. More collaboration with the channel partners, that's an advantage to all. We have examples where Walmart ties up with various suppliers, Walmart ties up with various even digital tools, equipments manufacturers, etc. Amazon has this tie up with various backends, and where order placed by you is not really coming from the Amazon godown, but it is like the manufacturer whose product is that comes to know, and then his channel is there at the backend helping the Amazon to fulfill that order, yeah, from the nearest distribution point from where the dispatch will reach the consumers. And accordingly, all the replenishment of the inventory and all takes place. Yeah, and all these things happen in a real time online, and most of the time automatic without human intervention. So this is the overall change that is happening. So we come to a stage where we need to now understand the large retail formats and what the distribution management is all about. More and frequent deliveries. So the retail formats today expects very frequent deliveries, and they want more hit rates at their outlet to deliver the required quantity. So this is what is now happening, and as a result, the secondary distribution of the supplier needs to really undergo change. Shorter lead time. They expect the lead time. Whenever there is an order, the expectation of a lead time being getting smaller and smaller, and it should reduce. And there is the expectation. Earlier, it was possible for that FMCG distributor or CNF agent to say that we come to your area mein once in a week. Aate hai. Now it is not possible. Like so, that's the response time expected by the retailer. Smaller quantities per day, but frequent delivery. So many retailers are expect that you deliver small quantities, but frequently, either during the week or during the day, etc. So that the churn is much better, and they take what is needed by them. They don't take what is not needed by them, resulting in the manufacturer suppliers not being able to make the optimum utilization of the delivery units. So here the catch means because of this, somewhere the distribution aspect of the manufacturer or the supplier does take a hit. Either his hit rate has to suffer if he has to go with the full truckload, or he has to allow limited truckload to move. So in that case, he is going to incur some amount of cost. But what gets offset is the frequent turnover of his inventory. So goods churn is faster, and that I think kind of offsets certain overheads that he has to incur higher. holding more stocks at delivery centers to cater to the urgent requirement of this thing. So there is always a concept of safety stock, buffer stock, etc., which is there. So similarly, retail market being so agile and so unpredictable at times, all suppliers do not want to get into a situation of a stock out. So as a result, then they have to deploy additional stock, which increases bit of his stock carrying cost, etc. So that's two areas which is of a concern for the supplier. Moving on, and the distribution managers of both the manufacturer and the large format retail chain must get into more working. So the best way is to collaborate between the both the parties. So both parties will have to collaborate in a way that they understand each other's limitations, disadvantage points, and then they try to arrive at a solution which is very optimizing for both. So that is going to really impact the whole chain. Chain in the sense, not only the speed, the time, the place utility, but the cost and profitability, etc., also get favorably impacted. Increasing use of third party logistics. So third party logistics, many times nowadays what is percolated is a concept of a third party logistics service provider. Why should you have your own logistics setup? So there are experts, there are specialists who and there are people who are invested into the kind of vehicles, the kind of support, kind of IT systems, etc. So why don't use them if you think that it is not viable for you to invest into all those aspects? And so that third party service providers effective utilization will really create an opportunity for you. Even large organizations with their bandwidth of full truckloads or with their own IT network, etc., but many times things of make or buy. And there are certain C category items, or there are certain low value items. Whether should they use their bandwidth for those kind of things, or that should be outsourced? So even those kind of decisions are possible with bringing in the third party service provider. Growing popularity of cash and carry format. Increasingly, with the popularity of the online retail, what is also parallelly happening is the private label. Private label, this thing is catching up. And nowadays, when you go to say Amazon or when you go to any Flipkart or for that matter, any online Myntra or all, very few percentage of online consumers are conscious about specific brand that they are buying. Otherwise, they look at the product, they look at the utility of the product to it. They look at their availability, they may not be bothered about looking at who manufactures it, and then they get into buying them. And as a result, what has happened, the entire trade has realized that there is a possibility to grow the private label. That this thing has become possible with the cash and carry format, wherein the manufacturers, there is a service providers or some online marketers, etc., they've got into developing those items, producing those items, and providing it to the retailers. So it's like you bring the cash, you take the item away. So as a result, not only they are able to fulfill the online requirement, but they are able to utilize their production capabilities, and this goes via retail to the retail channel, and that is available to the people across country. Cross business collaborations, and that is also being really talked about. And today various complementary product, this thing can come together to create a unique selling propositions or utilitarian aspect for the product, and that will really give the boost to the large retail formats. Global data synchronization with the IT network, satellite communications and all this thing is really opening up the possibilities of connecting. Now that possibility of connecting needs to be then utilized by you. So Walmart is always ahead of others, and a possibility of connecting so far, probably world has thought that our organization network should be linked. And there is a person say who thought beyond. So Walmart has a system which is integrated to various vendors, manufacturers, and not only that, there are even outlets across the world. So they function on a principle of real live data. The order is received. The right stakeholders are intimated from the nearest distribution center, the goods gets delivered. Walmart gets the customer delivery advantage. On the other end, that manufacturer gets one product sold. And on the second hand, he comes to know his real inventory status, and then he knows when to replenish, etc. And that he does it in his own cycle, in his own way, etc., which is a advantage to him rather than doing anything specifically for, say, like Walmart's or Amazon's, etc. So that's a advantage. Promotion of the private label, I have already discussed, and growing the standalone supermarket stores. First, it was visualized that the standalone retail supermarket store will vanish, but that has not really happened. They have also bounced back. They have various advantages, and that with that advantage of personal services, attention to customer needs, etc., and few more, they are able to now sprout back, and they are also like kind of creating a competition to the large retail format. So this is what the whole large retail format has to face it. To align to that, the distribution management has to really work extra smart, extra hard, as I saw, at the optimal rate. So that's the optimal rate is a challenge. So model to decide the store location. So we are now going to study how do you decide your store location. So let's understand these two different methods. That these are the methods which tells you how to decide your where should your retail stores be. Friends, in the booklet in the textbook that you have, there is a calculation given, Yane, because this involves a bit of a statistical formula and then calculation thereof. In my this presentation, I am not getting into that area at all. We are here not to become statistically expert, but we are here to understand the basic principles, Yane. So I will try and focus you or try and help you to understand the basic of that. Those who are keen can probably look at the textbooks from the perspective of understanding how mathematically the things have been worked out, what has been described to you. So one is Rayleigh's law of retail gravitation. So that talks about concept called gravitation, and second is the Huff's law, which is more on a probability side. So let's take the first one, Rayleigh's law of retail gravitation. Simply put together, Taraju, you are knowing it. I hope that weighing scale. In the weighing scale, if you put equal weight, the center will remain at the center. But the moment the weight changes, where there is a more weight, that side will go down faster. Same is the concept which says ke bhai, attraction depends on the availability of number of consumers, and that aspect that needs to be considered while you decide your store. Here grammatically we will try and see this. What it says is the point, this point derivation is a sum total or the assumed to be a function of a distance between the two locations demarcated by the influence of their respective size. Size, that's what currently we work with, as we say we work either with the population as a size. So here point A, point B, distance between the two is 75, where will your store be? Now with the gravitation, this thing, if this is a large population, you will prefer to be closer to point A. So that's what is the Rayleigh's law of gravitation. However, as they say that in reality there is never only two stores. There is never only two locations, etc. So there is a concept that is brought in that there is another third point that comes in. Now you have a choice to decide where your store should be. So in such case that rule of gravity starts changing. Now that rule of gravity doesn't remain only at the population level. What it says that the rule of gravity will include aspects like how good the area is, what kind of people stay there, what are the amenities at the store that you offer, vagera. Today, why don't you walk into a small shop and you prefer to go every Sunday to a mall, etc. So that's where somewhere this particular theory comes in. So what they say, the footfall is a result of what more the store has to offer. So now it has moved away from merely the population number, it has moved to the nature of stores, the size, the ambience, the other facilities that you offer, the parking utility. Parking is otherwise a nightmare. So if parking is a nightmare, customers will tend to resist coming to you, etc. So suppose you have created an exclusive parking area. So there, if that kind of aspect starts coming in, the gravity starts shifting. So that's what this rule of Rayleigh's law tries to work out for you. To add each weight into your this thing, there is a formula which is given. So at the end, suppose you apply this route. So here there is an equal demarcation. We have put in this number, how the 72,000 has come and 96,000 has come. So with those parking and those other aspects are been added to the weight. So totally that population number versus this have slightly changed. Now as you can see, earlier the point A was a preferred this thing, but now as you can see the weight has shifted more towards point C, because point C tend to be offering more So with that as a concept, then you try to add as many possible factors which influences the customer's footfall. Your center of gravity will change, and that's what, suppose this is what in that example, this is how overall now the shift has taken place. It is more tilted towards B, C remains as a next priority, and then of course the A. So earlier that just an assumption of large population got changed with the addition of various other factors which creates a footfall. So that's how the retail store location is a sum total or a derivative of not only merely the population in that area, but how the other aspects that will drive the consumer footfall to your store determines the location. So that's what is the first law. Huff's law operates on the principle of probability. So probability, as you say, is like at each this location, what is the probability of people coming? Now this probability of people coming is again a result of various things. So result of distance, result of facilities, results of kind of brands that you have, kind of stores that you have, etc. So it's like, you know, I any day prefer to say go to R Mall than they say Raghu Leela. Why? Because Raghu Leela is now lost that aspect of a very brand conscious stores being there. But at R Mall, if I go, I get a branded stores. So that being a brand conscious, then I'll prefer to go to say R Mall, which is at Kurla in Mumbai for my non-Mumbaiite students. So this is what is the driving. This is the probability aspect. That is what the Huff's law says. So probability is a result of various other factors that will drive the people towards you. So here it is derived on a various front, the probability are tested, and accordingly the store's location can then be derived. So Huff's law, as I have said, is a population density and other relevant aspects like the showroom infra and other aspects of customer visits is taken into account to derive the probability. So likely footfall is finally derived based on that likely footfall. Generally, that is the conversion ratios and all are behind the science. So, if there is 100 people visiting your area, how many will actually buy the goods? So, that's also a conversion factor. That again may change from area to area because it depends on nature of people with what kind of a pocket strength are visiting your area. So, you may have a very large footfall, but if they are from the poor and middle class family, the conversion could be very poor. But if you have a limited footfall, but they are like, you know, rich people, they are wealthy people, then the possibility of them buying, they are, first is they are just coming to your store is not just to see the glitz around. They are coming because they have a genuine need. While in the areas where the stores which are in low income or middle income areas, if there is a large store comes up, half the time people are just coming to see the ambience and experience the ambience. So these are all other aspects put together. Huff's law works out a probability for you, and that will decide where your store location should be. So with this as a two model that is going to help you, we move on to the evolution of the distribution management in online business. So what we are going to see is to how the online business to meet their challenge, how the distribution management has evolved. I have taken one case study which is there also in the book, which is a Flipkart's case study. We will study such aspects, and I have seen in other chapters also certain case studies are covered. You must understand that part very well. Flipkart earlier was a very old model. Flipkart has now decided to move and invest significant amount to look at the distribution system and revamp that to meet the challenge of Amazons and Walmarts coming into country. Now they are moving to many smaller to mega size and smaller fulfillment centers. So earlier the old formats, whatever that was, now they have decided to set up what you call a mega store, mega warehouse with smaller fulfillment centers. Fulfillment centers are the one where customers pick orders are picked up, packed and sent to the parcel centers or the directly to the consumers. So this is what they have decided to adopt themselves to. Thus, they are going to use hub and spoke model very effectively. So they have kind of decided to put in a large mega store in Calcutta, one in west and one in north to cater to the all India market. And then they will have smaller fulfillment centers, fully automated and IT integrated systems. Now they are going to have this entire, all these centers are fully integrated IT able to provide on-time, real-time activity, online real-time information. So that is going to help each stakeholders. Warehousing guy will know what is the inventory today, what needs to be replenished. The supply guy knows what needs to go out today. The route plans and, you know, various things are so well laid out so that it is all within the customer service level decided by the organization. Cost reduction and faster customer service. So all this is going to bring initial investment though being high, but Walmart expects that this is going to bring their overall customer service expenditure, that the distribution management expenditure, by almost 15 to 20%, which is a big saving. This savings either they can utilize to continue to upgrade them or remain competitive. So that's remain competitive by way of promotion, the best price in this segment, etc., and they can still continue to churn more and more retail orders at a faster pace. They can increase their customer service time also. So earlier it might be the experience that ek bar Flipkart mein order diya to 3 din pehle nahi milta hai. That may change to now that you get it in the next day or 2 days. They may utilize this to their advantage. Tomorrow they may announce that, you know, get your supplies within 48 hours or it's a guaranteed supply in 2 days, any part in India. So those are the advantage that this new model. So new model is large mega hubs serviced by fulfilling centers. That is, fulfilling centers will be closer to market. So mega hub may be in, say, like Nagpur, but after that fulfilling centers will be in, say, Bhiwandi in Mumbai and Gujarat, Ahmedabad, or that kind of areas where they will have a fulfillment centers. From fulfillment centers, the dispatch takes place to the retailer, or say there is a parcel center. The parcel centers may be again inside the city. So Bhiwandi, if fulfilling centers, they may have a parcel centers which could be in, say, like one in South Mumbai, Central Mumbai, North Mumbai, etc. So once goods reach there, then from there it goes out to the streets of Mumbai and then it reach your house. So that's a Flipkart example. So we have overall understood the logistics in retail in this chapter. Thank you.